Hi, thanks for downloading this. My name's Alex Boardman. I'm a stand-up comedian. I have been for 20 years, and I run the New Comedians Night at the Comedy Store Manchester. On the podcast, we're going to be speaking to all of the acts on the stage tonight at the New Comedians Show. Okay, let's get on with the show. What a dick. So, quite a nice New Comedians this evening. Pleasant audience, not as full as we've been, probably got 100 people in. United just played Liverpool, so maybe that is a factor. Our opening act, Tom Taylor.
Hello.
Hiya.
That's me.
Yes, who I didn't even know was a comedian, because I know you from your gigs that you book.
Yes, you know Bruce Wayne, and tonight you saw Bruce Wayne doing a character act.
Well, it was my agent who, because you'd said... You said, oh, can I have a gig here? And I was like, really? Because I didn't know you did it at all. I didn't know you did gigs at all. And then, so I was on the phone to my agent about 1 minute later, and I went, you know that dude who's got that brilliant gig in Harrogate, Tom? Is he any good? And Forrest was like, oh my God, he's amazing. And you were really, really great.
Very kind of you.
How long have you been going?
I've been going new in a little bit. So I'd say I've been going about 5 years.
Right. Because you don't look new. You look kind of...
haggard?
No, you look like you know what you're doing with everything.
Oh, that's kind.
So how would you describe yourself?
So I've gone through lots of different sort of stages. I would describe that... I've been described as a bit of a character act, but essentially it's my quirks heightened, which we all do to different degrees, but I felt like I turned the character down a little bit tonight for them. Wasn't quite sure what they were going to go with.
Also, first is for the kind of... Because I would describe you as kind of like a bit of a... Because you play an organ.
Yes.
You've got these...
Tiny organ.
There's lots of surreal moments in there. There's lots and lots of jokes.
Yes.
And you are kind of nerdy.
But how to describe my act? Well, if you can imagine a piece of paper with a Venn diagram on it, and there's one circle labelled music... and an overlapping circle labelled comedy, then my act is on another piece of paper going, I just want to be a triangle. I've got the body of a supermodel in plastic bin bags in my freezer. I just want to be a triangle.
Yes. So essentially that came... I used to be deadpan.
Really?
Yeah, and it's that thing of when you're in the middle
of
lineups, if you've got jokes, I think you've got more slack, haven't you? You
can get away
with
more.
If you've got personality, you can get away with not quite so good writing. If you've got good writing, you can get away with not quite so good stage presence.
Yes.
And then once you're asked to open rooms, suddenly you have to find that extra something.
Yeah, it becomes like that, almost like comparing, because... They weren't easy tonight. They never are in the first half, but there's no threat from them either.
No.
So no one would ever put an act like you on first. I do it like every time.
Yeah, when there's just absolutely no option because somebody's arrived
late. There were loads of options. There were loads of options, but I think I just really like it because that was a really varied first half, so I was so happy with that. It was brilliant.
Oh, that's, comedy, oh, I that's good.
Because you were one way, and then Sharon went on and was kind of Australian, and then...
That's a genre of comedy.
And then Harry's like very like every man, isn't he? And stuff.
Yeah.
So it worked. I mean, nobody would ever put it that way around, but it's just good because we've had this audience
for a couple of years. You're not everybody, are you, mate?
We've had this audience for a couple of years and they're used to everything now. What came first? You as a comedian that then became a promoter?
The chicken. So I, like everybody else, I set up a gig because it's the easiest way of getting stage time every month. And then, as you sort of alluded to, the gig became better than I ever thought it might.
It's a cracker, isn't it?
So I compared it every month for 2.5, 3 years.
Right, okay.
Which is
a different style to one year deadpan and to that.
Yeah, I never did chat because, you know, that promoting a lineup of, you know, Roger Monk has closed the first one.
Right, yeah.
Pat Monahan opened and then we finished 2 days later. And, but so it was just developing something something else. Okay, I'm not a natural. I don't compare it.
No, no, you've not compared it for a bit, have you?
Because my dissertation came along, and then I invited other people in because it's that extra stress. I think if you perhaps know if you promote if you, then you're setting out chairs and then you're doing the tech and then you have to go click your fingers and now have to be funny.
Yeah, luckily I don't have to do that here, or else I couldn't do that. It was too hard.
Also, that it came about that. Other promoters started booking me for other gigs, so I didn't have to book myself every month.
Right, perfect.
Yes.
So have you done Edinburgh's? Are you going to
this
year?
I have done, I've done various different things. I did, so the link with your agent is I did their showcase last year.
That's what they said.
And I also did I did a one-man play last year as well, which essentially could also be termed as character comedy, but I submitted it in the theatre section because Tom Taylor has no traction. But in the theatre section, you don't need traction, you just need a good blurb.
Right, okay, oh, that's great.
And that's what I had. So next year I'm going to go up with, I'm going to reprise that one because that had a very good run, and lots of people want to see it who couldn't get in, and I'm going to do the second in the sort of series.
Brilliant. So people can follow you on Twitter. Is it at
they
Tom
can.
Taylor?
It's at Tom Tails. Tom Tails. I've got a website, which is Tomedy, TOMEDY.co.UK. And then you can link up to my SoundCloud. That's what I'm driving people towards.
Right.
It's my quirky series of ad-libs that I record. And then I put them on SoundCloud with absolutely no context.
And that tells you everything about the 20 minutes you gave us tonight.
But potentially so.
And one last thing, your gig in Harrogate, what's that called?
That's called Sitting Room Comedy, and we run one in York and Knaresborough and a couple of other places.
Brilliant. So if you're anywhere in the North Yorkshire or even sort of West Yorkshire area, those nights are amazing.
That's very kind of you to
one
say.
One of my favourite gigs last year was that one in Harrogate. It was amazing.
I think somebody wants to come back.
Nah, mate. thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Alex.
Second act this evening, Sharon Booth.
Hello.
Hello. Now, you're an Aussie.
Yes, I am an Aussie. Guilty.
Excellent. And I couldn't tell that from your email.
No.
It was just like normal English. You wouldn't know. I was very surprised when I met you.
They do teach us English there. Yeah.
Now, you said something really interesting. I think it was kind of towards the end of your five-minute set.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about, is it called Turner?
Turner syndrome, yes.
Turner syndrome. Would you like to talk about that or not? Because it was really funny and it's...
Was it? Well, that's good.
I love it when it's one of those things where like you're laughing, but then you go, wow, that's so unusual. And that's... So what is Turner syndrome?
Turner syndrome is it's essentially a chromosomal abnormality where you're born with just one X chromosome instead of two X chromosomes. So you usually would be an XY chromosome for a male and an X chromosome for a female. And... girls with Turner syndrome just have this for one X, that's it.
So, and your joke revolved around just the idea that you just sort of race through, like, aging or something odd.
Yeah, puberty, you kind of just go, you don't really get to that stage, you go straight to basically menopause.
Instead of puberty, you essentially just go straight to menopause city. Toot toot. Menopause city. Don't know why I do the toot toot for that. I mean, it's obviously a landlocked place. Dry and barren. To put it basically in layman's terms.
So were you like a bit of a... Because I always think like loads of the best comedians are sort of outsiders. Does that make you feel like an outsider? Or that comes across when you're on stage as well, like you're not quite...
Yeah. Well, that's kind of good. I did always kind of feel... But like a outside, but I wasn't diagnosed until I was 16.
Right.
Generally, girls would be diagnosed a little bit earlier because there's a lot more alarm bells. But because I was taller than what I would be, there's a lot less alarm bells because the small things that I did have were kind of like higher kind of instances of like ear infections and all that, which you know you can just interpret as just. You're just a kid that has sort of, there's little things that could have been picked up, but because it wasn't until 16, I had that until then of not actually knowing, that I had it.
It's totally unique anyway. I've not seen any other act who's had Turner's. So how long have you been going, Sharon?
I, for one, around Melbourne have been on and off for the past 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. And how long have you been here?
I moved in May, so, just 8 months.
Right, no? Okay. Because yeah. Melbourne, I know I've got a lot of friends who go to the festival. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a few, isn't there? Because it's so big, and I think there's Melbourne's the big one.
Yes.
But then Adelaide has a little one now, too.
Down the Fringe, yes.
And is there another one?
There's the Perth Fringe Perth. Festival.
That was the other place.
And, yeah, Sydney and Brisbane both had their comedy festivals, too, at the start of the year. But I haven't done those, too.
So what, have you noticed, like, a huge cultural change from Australian doing gigs in, say, Melbourne to doing gigs in Manchester or London or Edinburgh?
A lot of kind of jokes do translate, and then even if you do have some terms that might not be essentially used, they kind of what you're talking about anyway.
Well, we've had so much Australian TV for the last 30-odd years now that there's not, I don't think there's even, it's like American as well. You're kind of like, oh, we just get it. We get like what a ute is. We all know what a galah is or whatever.
I so love that you had Round the Twist here. I want to do something about it. I grew up only like a drive down the Great Ocean Road from the lighthouse.
Really?
Where it was filmed, yeah.
That was my wife's favourite program when she was growing up. She always goes, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Strange things happen. Are you going around the twist? And I've never seen it. I don't know what. She's made me watch it since. And I've just gone, obviously, as a grown man, that is pointlessly bad.
It's awful, isn't it? I had the theme song in my iPhone, in my iTunes.
Oh, God. Sharon, if people want to follow you on Twitter, or if you've got a gig list, if you've got a Facebook page.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter. It's just at Sharon Booth. Sharon's spelled for Y, not a no, so S-H-A-R-Y-N-B-O-O-T-H.
Yes, sorry, I've talked over that. S-H-A-R-Y-N Booth.
Yes. Instagram, I had to do Boothy Vision at the moment because there is another Sharon Booth who has taken it. She's a Booth by marriage, though, so I'm going to try and destroy her marriage so she changes the handle and it frees it up.
Yeah. Not really, Sharon Booth. Please subscribe and listen.
I was born with this.
Oh, thanks, Sharon.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Closing. Just watching producer Rich stuff pizza in his face. Closing the first half was Harry Stichini. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Now, I've known you for a couple of years, I think, since you pretty much first started.
Yeah.
And you were always quite good anyway, but you've, like, gone up a massive level.
Oh, thank you.
Because you're doing more, not everywhere, but you're doing loads of...
Yeah, I tend to do, like, a lot of middles, doing 20s for junglers and stuff like that, but all over the place. But it's just trying to get more established paid work.
Yeah, so you're still at the stage where any gig's a gig and you'll
take everything. Yeah, definitely. Do a lot of new material nights, because that's obviously like a club set there, but I'm always trying to turn out new stuff.
Yeah, now, how would you do... It's really weird, because I don't... Like, every man... You're like an everyman character, and do you know what I mean when
no,
you say that?
No.
Right, I think you're someone, and it's like a Jason Manford's, like the same kind of person.
All right, okay.
I've heard that people before. Go, yeah, you're like somebody's mate, or you just like everybody likes him. You're normal in a really good way. Do you know what I mean? You're dead relatable and stuff.
Surprisingly, I'm actually trying to be more opinionated.
Yeah, I don't mean that. You got strong opinions and stuff, but I think people are automatically predisposed to like you. They just like you, do you know what I mean? You've got, and normally, it was weird because Tom, who was on first, normally you would find yourself going on first with your persona and everything. But I think you've already been on first for me once ages ago. So it's miles easier and nicer, isn't it, to close the first half?
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
A much better spot. That story you've got at the end is really funny about the drinking game you inadvertently find yourself in the middle of in Germany.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, you will always find an Irish bar, right? Yeah, it's a fact of life, they're fucking everywhere. And they come with like three fundamental things. Okay, you get drinking games, rugby teams from all over the globe, and then some knock-off local band that will not stop singing Wonderwall on repeat, right? We're in Manchester, I love the song Wonderwall, it's a great song. It sounds awful though, in a German accent. For example, see back beads of eddies on the streets as a fire in your heart is out. See, I'm sure you... I could do the entire fucking song, right? Thing is, he got to the chorus and said, Wunderwall, and nearly cried.
Is that a true story? Was it based on truth?
No, it's not true at all.
Were you even in Germany?
Yeah, I was on a train in Poland when I wrote it.
Right, okay.
And I'd just been in a few Irish bars, and the type of characters that were in there, I just thought, what if this took place? Because I am not a lad in any way, so I just thought, you know, me being in that situation and how it would pan out, what it could be like. And I wrote it in about half an hour on a train.
Did you? Because it's really good. That's what you closed with.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a callback to the Wonderwall joke you did before?
No, the only callback is the bow at the end.
Right, yeah.
And I've tried to do that joke, the first joke about bowing, I've tried to do that joke, the bowing one, and done it wrong at times, and it messed up the Irish bar joke. So, yeah, they kind of need to dovetail well and work together as best as possible.
So, how do you get your material then? Because some people, I think most of the joke proper gaggers,
yeah,
just kind of sit down every day and go, I'll write for 2 hours today and I'll just figure it out like maths, like equations. How do you do it as a bit more of a storyteller, a bit more of a kind of...
The first thing is I look a lot to my past, as you say, like stories. There's a lot of stuff which I tend to forget about, which my mum pulls me up and go, when this happened? Like, it was an incident when I was about 7 years old and went on a campsite in France, and my mum spent about 15 minutes going through how to, you know, say, get chocolate croissant and all the rest of it in French. And I pedalled off on my bike and then came back 2 minutes later and was like, Mum, where's the shop? So you just stuff like that. But in terms of, like, topical things, I'm actively trying to be more newsy.
More newsy,
well, like, you know, politics and stuff like that, because like Bill Burr is my favourite comic, and
right,
a lot
okay.
of stuff he does, he's you know, though it is quite man-woman type material, he does cover things with a very strong opinion, which I think I lack at times.
Have you seen his sitcom?
Animated.
Yeah, this one's brilliant. Really good, isn't brilliant. It? It's really, really good. excuse me, sorry Harry. So how long have you actually been doing it? About 2-3 years?
3 years, and end of this month.
Wow. And you've got an agent?
No, I'm looking for an agent.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I'm really looking for an agent. I'm looking for anything.
Right. Oh, okay. I might know someone, actually, who's good, who'd be perfect for you.
All right, okay.
I think so. I'll tell you after. See what he's...
This is the best podcast I've ever done.
Yeah, an agent. Yeah, because all his acts are quite new and fresh and young, but good.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you see yourself? Have you got an ambition? Is it to be a club comic who does nothing else, like earns his money from this? Is it to be trying to be on telly or on the radio? Or
My plan is to be a writer, actor and performer. But not in a sense that like this year I'm going to do a pilot.
And model.
So this year I'm going to do a pilot, and there's a script I'm working on. So I want to be able to write it myself, shoot it myself, because I work in TV.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So, like, you know, I do all sorts of different jobs around there. So hopefully that knowledge and the people I work with, like, you know, good cameramen and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a couple of cameramen in the front row tonight.
Exactly.
Do you know them?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you?
No.
They've been before, actually. Every time I start slagging them off and they go, we work in TV, so I back off.
Yeah,
and then, normally I don't. I normally just hit them with loads of video, but I recognise one of them.
But it's definitely that's the.
So you'd be
game.
Able to do that. That's brilliant if you can. Because
but like it's content, you know, which is like the important thing. And
I do
struggle with that, and I know it'll come with time. But I try to write every day, you know, as much as possible. But
if you can film stuff, and we've tried filming bits, obviously, like on our own back. Sound is what we always fail on, because it's kind of easy to shoot something and make it look half decent
with
basic lighting knowledge.
Yeah, it's getting it mixed.
Yeah, sounds impossible.
Yeah, but if you I know a guy.
Right.
So if you sort me an agent, I'll sort you sound.
we chat now for the rest of the interval. So, Harry, if people want to follow you and see some of this content that you're going to be putting out, where do they do that?
Harry Stacchini on Facebook. I've actually got a page on there. I was meant to say it on stage, but I didn't. You get me on Twitter as well, at H Stacchini, which is Stachini.
Right. I don't know if anybody ever listens to this and goes, with a pen. Do you know what I mean? Does it? But Masara brilliantly puts everybody's like links on, so you just click it via iPod. Do you do that? He's looking at me as if to say, do I do that? I don't know. I don't.
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect.
Bro, so that's great. Oh, good luck with that then. Good luck with your little mini pilots and everything. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So I'm keeping busy.
Good lad. See you soon, Harry.
Ta-ra.
Opening up the second half was Mark Grimshaw. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Alex.
you were a replacement. You were going to do the open spot next month, but yes. You're friends with Tony Wright,
yes.
So you two swapped. Are you also a student at Salford, like he is?
Yes, I am, yeah.
First year, second year?
Second year.
Oh, right, awesome. Doing comedy?
Yeah, comedy. We'll call it that, yeah.
So have you done any stand-up yet on that course that it does involve
no.
comedy? Right, so you've not come to
no, the, it's more I'm doing the course because of the stand-up rather than doing stand-up because of the course.
Yeah, so you always wanted to do stand-up. How many gigs have you done then?
I think tonight was bang on my 100th.
Wow, really?
I think tonight was, yeah. Which, you know, nice one at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. Well, right, you mentioned, you walk on stage and the first thing you said was, hello, I'm autistic.
Yeah.
Are you?
I am, yes.
Right, because yes. It was, as a set, there was no fat on it whatsoever. It was just joke, 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 joke. And it feels like you've done 100 gigs as well. You know, there's lots of big laughs in there. The device you use, you're kind of mentioning stuff about TripAdvisor in one big bit of your set. TripAdvisor reviews. Are you really reading them out from, or have you memorised those now?
I have memorised them. The piece of paper that I have is more kind of theatrical.
Right.
Because if you have a piece of paper, people go, yeah,
we believe you.
If you go from memory, they go, nah, he's just making these up, isn't he?
I thought I'd take a look at what kind of weird or unusual or unexpected places are on TripAdvisor. Auschwitz is on TripAdvisor. That's weird, right? I mean, it's a death camp. Don't get me wrong, I know it's not still functioning. I know it's under new management, but still, it's a bit weird, isn't it? 3,500 five-star reviews. I went straight to the one star. Totally disappointing.
Because that's what I always wonder, because the only time I'd ever have a bit of paper is if I've just kind of written it and I don't know it. So I'm going, oh, and look at this, I found in the paper, isn't it?
Well, normally I perform with a PowerPoint.
Because
I'm kind of working up for material for a show involving PowerPoint, which is going to be based completely about the internet.
Right,
I've got about half an hour of stuff for that at the minute. So normally I perform it with the PowerPoint, so then people can actually see that they are genuine reviews.
Yeah, yeah, because that would really help. There is an act called David Trent who's on the circuit. Yes. Have you seen David?
Yeah, some acts not long ago.
He's really good, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, there's a fair few great acts that I can do stuff with PowerPoint, because obviously you've got Dave Gorman.
Oh, yeah, Dave.
James Veitch and right. Joe Lycett have all also been doing some really good stuff.
I didn't know Joe was doing it. I saw Joe a couple of weeks ago in Leeds, but he didn't do that then. I wonder if it's for... Is it for Edinburgh coming?
It was on his tour show that I saw.
Right, okay.
Because, you know, like he does the stuff with emails when he's on.
Yeah, yeah,
Castle's
yeah.
Countdown and stuff like that. It's those bits he uses PowerPoint for.
And it really helps, doesn't it? Because the audience kind of it sounds odd, but even though it's everything we say is a lie, more or less, if you can validate that lie even more, people are like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, exactly why I have the piece of paper. So if someone goes, these aren't real, are they? I can go, yeah, look at it. It's in my hand.
Are they real?
They are.
Because it's really funny. I hope we get a clip of one of those bits, because just the idea of reviewing.
I've spent so long reading through things like that just to try and find the ones that are workable.
But it's a naturally funny idea that people would TripAdvise Auschwitz, for instance. That's just hilarious. And then the comments that people have made, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
I hope we clip
that. It's completely ludicrous, and that's why I like it.
It is, I do too. So you and Tony, is there a third musketeer of sort of new acts who are going to Edinburgh this year? You're doing shows together, aren't you?
In 2016 we did, it was myself, Tony Wright and James Allen. Who
right,
are
okay,
all
yes.
on the Salford course.
Yes.
Yeah, we all went up to Edinburgh just to basically see what it's about and have a go at it. And financially cripple ourselves.
Yeah, was that your first Edinburgh then?
Yes.
And you'd be what, 19?
Yes.
About 19, 18, 19?
I turned 20 whilst I was there.
Right, okay. Yes. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't certain that I just had to kind of question my own age.
But it's a really great, I think, especially when you're young and you're new, it's just the best place, because it's gig here. You do 4 gigs a night.
It's such a kind of weird experience. Like, because with Edinburgh, you're doing so much constantly. There's like, when you're back in just Manchester and you're doing odd gigs, you're constantly, like, you can get time to get nervous.
Yeah.
About
Edinburgh,
gigs.
You can't, can you?
Edinburgh, there's no time for nerves. because you're just straight to another gig.
Do you know what? The only sort of semi-equivalent is London, right, where you can do 3 gigs a night easily.
Mm.
But you just either hop a tube in 2 stops and then you're out, or you even just walk from one venue to another. And it's kind of odd because your first gig, you're concerned about getting to your next gig. And your next gig, you're like, did I just say this that I'm saying now? Then your third gig, you're like, oh, I'm just so relaxed, but all over the place. I just kind of wing this one. And Edinburgh's the same, isn't it? But when you're new, that's great because you've not got, oh, I'll just do an hour material, just start here and so I don't repeat.
Because when I was in Edinburgh, I was in the So You Think You're Funny semi-final. Right. And because of how much you kind of do in Edinburgh, that just becomes another gig.
Yeah,
there's no time to kind of go, that's what I've just done. That was just another gig in the 50 I've done this month.
And that's kind of the natural state to be, because for somebody like, say, Frankie Boyle, who might do... like he'd record his own sort of podcasty TV podcast show, and then that night he might be doing his own tour show, and then the morning he's on radio something massive, and then he's doing, you know, another show, and everyone's just another gig to him where he's just trying to be funny and stuff. But for anybody else, or, you know, any of the people at that big famous level, anywhere else, but oh my God, I'm at the whatever, I'm at the Palladium tonight, or I'm at the, and they're just like, oh, it's just another gig, oh, I'll get to that one, I'll try this new bit. It's a good way to be.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's my first gig this week. I've had the week off. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's weird kind of coming back after Christmas and having quite an empty... because there's not really much call for open spots over Christmas.
No.
Because everyone just wants the pro nights.
Yeah, to be honest, they do cock a night up. No offence, but you can't have open spots when people have paid double and they're not interested anyway.
I did two... I think it was 2 pro nights over Christmas, just in an open spot in the middle. And... do you know what? I didn't have any Christmas horror stories, which was nice.
That's good. Well, you will. They don't come for another year or two. Right. How do people know where you're gigging? Have you got Twitter, Facebook?
I've got Twitter. It's at MarkGrimshaw16. I'll be honest, I just use that for getting material because I'm doing a show about the internet. I just tweet people to wind them up and get material out of that. I've got a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/MarkGComedy. I've got a website, but it's useless. It's got a blog on it.
Right.
No one wants to read that.
Well,
I've written 2. There's 2 blogs on it. No one
perfect.
Wants to read them.
No, I couldn't ever be bothered doing that. Right. We've got to go because we've got to get Steph on. But thank you, Mark. You were brilliant tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Nice one.
Really nice.
Thank you. Closing the show, Stephanie Lang. Hello.
Hello.
You've closed one before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
But was it downstairs when you last did it?
No, it was upstairs.
Was it?
Because
we're now at the point where 1 or 2 acts are coming back,
mm-hmm.
Who did like particularly well the first time and stuff. And some of them didn't do the big room and it's kind of quite different, but that's not even a thing then if that didn't happen for you.
Well, the first time ever I did it downstairs.
Right, yeah.
But that was years ago because it was like 2 or 3 years ago because I was meant to do a 20 and I did like 12 because I did not have a 20.
Everybody lies to me about that.
Yeah.
And then that's a lie that's very coverable. What?
Yeah.
You can't cover when somebody goes, yeah, I'll do 15, and they do like 30. Mm-hmm. Or, so you've got an agent now.
I do, yeah.
Is it Adam Rushton?
It is, yes.
How's that working out? Is it easier? Is it harder? Because for a new comedian, the people that listen, I think, are mainly new comedians, they will all be thinking, I need to get an agent. I want to get an agent.
Mm.
Did you have no agent for a bit and found you weren't booking many gigs yourself? Has he changed your life drastically? Is he not that different?
I found it really useful.
Good.
I've been going for an embarrassingly long time, like it will be 10 years in April since I started, but I've been very lazy. I found it really useful getting an agent because he's taken over all my live bookings, but what that's done is it's freed up my time to actually work harder than I have ever have before. Because
right,
it means
that
he's doing all the shitty admin and I can put all my time into the creative stuff, like doing podcasts and writing and trying to write sitcoms and all that kind
of
shit.
Yeah, and he tries and flogs those for you and gets you gigs.
Yeah, and he works on getting the contacts that I have no clout to get at all.
Well, he was an act who was like, you know, one of those, he's just got the best attitude I've ever seen for a new act.
Yeah, he's so nice.
He's really nice, but he was
driven.
In the Navy.
Yeah.
He's driven. He is the most driven person
he's
ever.
He's so ambitious. Like, he's not just going to keep me ticking over with gigs. He's like, we're going to take you to the top. We're going to rule the fuck. He told me I'm going to rule the world. And I'm like, yes! Come on, Adam! It's really good.
Yeah, I really like that about him. I think he's... yeah. And he's kind of this... this band from, say, Liverpool, he's kind of wirrily Liverpool-y based, mm-hmm. isn't he? Right across to Hull. It's mm-hmm. a big band of the country, and there's only maybe one or two agents, maybe just one, really.
Yeah.
So I think he's needed and stuff. And
definitely.
Oh, good luck, because I love Adam. He will do you really good. So yeah. Your average day then now is spent just being... Are you a full-time comedian?
Yes.
And you don't have to do any of that boring admin-y stuff?
No, I do a little bit of admin stuff, but it's mostly writing now.
And right, what are your ambitions? Where do you think... Well, Stephanie Wang's going to be taken to the top by Adam Rushton.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But what are you thinking, right? The next two... Have you done this sort of plan and gone, next 2-3 years, I want to be doing every gig in the country. Next couple of years after that, I want to be doing my own tour. And
I planned this year.
Yeah.
So me and my friend Bisha K. Ali, she's next.
Oh, I know Bisha, yes.
Have you had her on here? You should.
Yeah, I had her on early. She does, I think.
Fucking ace. We are going to meet up every 2 or 3 weeks and yeah. write a sitcom pilot.
Okay, good.
Just write one, do it in a day, get it done. So hopefully yeah. by the end of the year I'll have like eight, nine sitcom pilots.
Brilliant. Wow, done. Okay.
I'm going to start writing stuff for radio. So I've got pitches that Adam's going to help me present to BBC Radio for next yes. month.
Good.
I've got an idea for a feature film.
Blimey, Adam Rushton, his attitude is rubbed off.
Because I have really low self-esteem, right? And I feel like it's a lack of confidence that's held me back from doing everything. But Adam like calls me up every now and then just to tell me that he thinks I'm ace.
Oh, God.
And it's so nice. It's exactly what I need.
It sounds like a dream.
He is. I love him.
I'm trying to be more positive and quite a negative person, naturally. So, right. He's lovely, right? If I'm walking upstairs and he's walking up behind me, he always tickles the backs of my legs and I'm like, oh my God, we're so fun. Everybody wants to be us. But the most recent time that he did that, this is how negative I am, my immediate thought was, oh, you'll miss that when he's dead.
So That sounds awesome. That bit's working out for you. Are you mm. Have you got plans to do a festival show? Leicester, Glasgow's just been announced. Edinburgh.
Yes, I'm doing Leicester and I'm doing Brighton and I've applied to do Edinburgh and I've written my third solo show, Mad About the Boy, which is about,
that's what this one's called.
Yeah, it's about relationships and mental health and like shitty relationships I was in and but funny making like yeah. making really abuse. Hilarious.
Yes, which is
the goal
best.
Of this show. so I'm excited about that as well.
Oh, that sounds awesome. So, Steph,
yeah.
if people want to book you, firstly, go to Adam Rushton. There'll be promoters listening to this. I don't know if promoters listen to this.
But
if you do, they'll be like, oh, God, Adam Rushton's a nightmare. He's on the phone 10 times yeah. a day. He will be that kind of agent. Yeah. That's what you want.
He's a pesterer.
Yeah, but that's what
I'm
you want.
I'm too polite. Like, if yeah. I email once and I don't get a response, I'm like, they just hate me. I won't make them sad anymore.
Do you know what? I even can remember emailing people and getting the, you know, like that thing where it says automatic reply, this is wrong. You've put the wrong address in and then mm-hmm. going, oh, I've bothered them enough. They didn't even get the name. But you do need, some people do need an agent yeah. and stuff. So they can get in touch with Adam if people want to book you, which I highly recommend they do because you're brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
Twitter, Facebook, is that what you got? Have you got your own website?
I have a website. It's stephanielang.co.uk.
Is Lang got an I in?
Yeah, L-A-I-N-G, yeah. I'm on Twitter, Stephanie_Lang. And my podcast is, it's called How the Fuck Do You Play This Fucking Game? It's a gaming podcast.
Okay.
So you take the first letter of all of those words and that's the Twitter. We've made ourselves so difficult to find on the internet.
HTFDYPTFG.
Okay,
two fuckings
in. How the fuck do you play this fucking game? Okay, get it right.
You should do another one. How the fuck do you find this podcast?
Yeah, how the fuck do you find this fucking podcast, you fucks?
So, oh, that sounds awesome. Just for the title alone, I'm going to download that.
Good.
Thank you so much, Steph.
That's all right. I hope I wasn't boring. No. I sense that I was.
No,
but thanks for having me anyway.
Thanks, Steph.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
Love you. Thank you for downloading the New Comedians podcast. I've been Alex Boardman. You can follow me on Twitter at @alxboardman. Big thanks to The Comedy Store for hosting us on the third Sunday of every month. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. The producer was Richard Massara. Bye. Bye. So, another podcast nearly done and dusted.
What do you mean nearly done? It's done. This is the extra special bit.
This is the main bit for the hardcore, self-flagellating people.
Yeah, this is the loving. This is the bit where I get to speak. It's my favourite bit.
What should we talk about then? Because last time we talked about The Boys.
That's true. How was your Christmas and New Year?
Okay.
Oh, there we go. That's good. You just pissed on vodka, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. That vodka lasted two nights that you got me. That was so kind of you.
I know what we're going to talk about. You're wearing a pair of trainers you've had since when?
1999. Yes. But they're a version. Well, they're the same trainers. They're Adidas Gazelles.
Now, they're beautiful.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Sky blue. Sky blue, the only colour to have Gazelles in.
Because I've got the same pair of trainers, but I don't know how old they are. Well, I'm not a freak.
No, they've brought them out in. Well, there's a. If you know anything about trainers, most trainers, Adidas and Nike especially, inside on the label, it'll say something like made in Indonesia, made in China. If you flip that label over, it will have a born on date. So it tells you when they came out of the factory. So these were October 99. The only reason.
They're older than the children that make Adidas and Nike trainers now.
Times three. Oh, that's a really good joke. That is a good joke.
If that fucking crops up in your set.
No, I've got one about Primark. That's the same fine. Gag. That's where you came up with it, you dick. But
I remember your shit material.
But, I put these on tonight because my friend, Steve Harris, who's a brilliant comedian.
Yeah, great guy.
So he's awesome, Steve Harris, and he used to be in rap bands and stuff. He's had an amazing life. He was in rap bands during Madchester period. They supported the Mondays.
Really?
So when he did his first gig about 20-odd years ago, I was the MC. I was kind of brand new, and I was MCing the Night of the Frog. And this lad gets up, and I'd only seen him like a year or two before supporting the Mondays.
Yeah.
On tour, when it was all massive, when Manchester was amazing. And so he starts doing this stuff, and he was saying, so I used to be in a rap band, and we were called First Defence, or F Off for short, which they were, and that was the opening line they used to say. And I was like, oh my God, that's Harris, he's like the lead singer of First Defence, can't believe he's doing an open spot. So anyway, he tonight put on Facebook that one of his like sort of friends when he was growing up died. Really recently. It's a bit sad. But he'd put...
just a bit.
It's really sad. Yeah, fame.
Smidgen.
But he'd lost a bit of touch with him, I think. And he put this picture of him like breakdancing in 1983 or something. Uh-huh. And they'd all got Adidas Gazelles on, which are these trainers.
Yeah.
So...
So
I said, I'll put these trainers on tonight as a tribute to your friend, even though I didn't know your friend and stuff. So that was a bit of a bring everybody down. But that's why I put them on, because I never really wear these.
Right.
I've got like loads of, well, not loads.
But this is what I'm curious about. How many pairs of trainers do you have? How old is the oldest pair that you still wear?
1984. Don't wear them anymore. Adidas Vienna. 1984. Now... people won't know this, will they? They'll be bored.
Don't matter.
Okay, but you're not bored. So you might have heard of Adidas ROM.
Yeah.
But they were for the 1984 LA Olympics. Adidas brought out loads of trainers. It was an Olympic special.
Uh-huh.
So everybody that had had an Olympic Games and possibly even a Winter Olympics got their own trainer. So ROM being short for Roma.
Yeah.
For the Rome Olympics. And there was an LA...
Fuck, walk me down that very obvious path, please.
So I got the Adidas Vienna, which were the white and red versions. And I got them when I very first started gigging. And they were an expensive purchase when I was single. So I couldn't afford them now.
That's your oldest pair, but how many pairs do you have?
Well, not many. I've probably got...
Has your wife made you about, get rid of yeah, them all yeah, over yeah, the yeah, earth? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also because I'm one of these people that doesn't... Like, if I have something I like, I don't use it all the time. So I've got all these trainers. I like, some are 10 years old, some are 11. These are 17. I've got some that are like 20, 30.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just getting ridiculous. And also, if you remember about five or six, I didn't know how popular it was because it was a thing that me and a couple of my mates like when we were in the 80s. And because I don't know, it's like a working class thing. I don't know what it is, but people in Manchester really used to like trainers, right?
Oh, and trainer collecting is a massive thing.
But it wasn't.
Just wondering how
I reckon
how many of your trainers have you had sex with?
Most.
Most. I could just see it as well.
In the bit where the lace goes.
God. last month we were geeking out about comic books, and this one I feel...
He's trainers.
I feel dirty. I can hear it in your voice.
To answer your earlier question, I've probably now only got about 12, 15 pairs of Adidas.
Fuck.
Because Adidas. I maybe threw that many away. And also... Do you remember the Manchester riots?
Yeah.
And the Adidas...
What, did you go down no, fucking Foot Locker?
God, well, God, no.
You were outside God, no. Foot Locker.
God, no. I don't...
a white middle class shoveling them. Rob, well, are we annoying you?
They killed... They,
poor old Rob's trying to do his admin in the office and we're talking about nonsense. The most inane shit. Yeah.
But, when that happened, the riots...
Yeah.
The shops that got hit the hardest were, like, the Nike shop and the Adidas shop. Uh-huh. And I was
did
like,
did you lay a wreath?
And I was like, oh God, I'm a bit over this now. I need to be over it because everybody's now claiming to be into it that never was. And also, I was like, well, I'm 44 now, so that's a bit sad if I'm still buying them and like collecting. Also, I've got two kids, I can't afford to do anything anymore. No. I just can't afford it. So, that was my one extravagance.
You're waiting for them to grow into it.
Do you know what happened as well? I got some in about 1985, one of my first pairs that were. Awesome, were Adidas All Black that I used to play football in and stuff, and they were like a much better Samba that everybody knows what Samba are. They were beautiful, and so I had them at the time, and then they never came back out. And then about 11 years ago, they brought out Bamba, which were from the sort of generation before and before Samba. So I got some of those Berlin edition, orange stripe. You don't get them in the UK. And which they've since brought out again, which totally defeats the whole purpose of it. But I got mine from Germany. And then they brought out all black with two other ones, all white and all brown, which were rubbish because they were never at the time. So I got all of them. And then that was it. Once I'd done that, I was like, I feel like I've completed the game that I wanted to do. So I haven't really, I've probably had four pairs of trainers since then. And I never wear shoes because, you know.
And you thought we'd have nothing to talk about.
No, it's so boring.
Hell, we haven't had anything to talk about.
And just to even it up.
I'm so sorry, listeners.
I'm wearing a pyjama top because I couldn't be asked getting changed.
You're wearing fucking 17, 18-year-old trainers. Jesus.
Yeah, boring. So sorry, we should not.
If those trainers were a girl, they're at the age you'd start leering on them.
Well,
from stage.
Put it like this, I've been inside them all day.
Oh, God, I can't believe that's how we're going to end this.
Feet first.
Oh, please like and subscribe the podcast.
This is boring.
Please.
We need to plan this bit. This is potentially the best bit.
That's true, potentially.
But today was
not
rubbish.
Not this time. I still feel really sorry that I didn't have that New Year's Eve swinging orgy that I told you about, because you totally believed me when I said I was going to one.
This is what you don't understand, because when my New Year's,
because you're married,
I'm married,
and I'm like, I'm going up to Edinburgh for an orgy, and you were like, really?
Oh my God, that
you
sounds awesome.
Fuck.
And I totally,
I just went to a house party.
Yeah, but if,
and we got really drunk, and we played Scattergrease till 7 o'clock
God.
In the morning.
See, we
that is how much of a fucking orgy I went to, mate.
I didn't,
Scattergrease.
Do you know what? I'm still.
It's a really good game.
I'm slightly
it's a
jealous.
Really good game.
We played that one where you put that thing in your mouth and talk like you've had a stroke. You know, we go. A bottle of beer, yeah, and you've got like this thing in your mouth. It was a big game at Christmas. Don't know what it was. We played that on New Year's Eve.
No, I think
it's a big game. Spray it, don't say it. Say it, don't spray it. Something like that.
You're just going around on Christmas mocking the disabled.
Yes, again. No, what we did, we played.
Oh, strokey. You just stroke. Look, I got this thing for Christmas.
Right, that's not acceptable, is it? That's really.
Yeah,
that's well, really.
We
beyond.
Had to do some entertaining chat.
we did a version of that. We played the B&M's own version of Say It, Don't Spray It. So instead of it being like this actual thing that you put in your mouth like a gag, it was literally just a hanky. And the words were just like handwritten on it.
Oh, for God's
sake. It was fun. I had a good time. But
you were just writing in biro on a hanky and shoving it in your son's mouth. Over shut up for 5 minutes.
So, okay, what's your New Year's resolution then? Is it to do more comedy or not?
Yeah, it's to be more organised. After listening to the Jason Manford one that we put out, there was so many things in that I'm definitely going to do.
What, like?
Well, like you were saying, like, comedy is your job. So, like, it doesn't matter if you've actually got a job. You've got, when you're not doing that, you've got to put in as many hours
Is have you done it? Yeah, but I've only ever had, like, I worked at Sainsbury's for a bit, and then I used to, like, Skype for the first hour till breakfast break.
Oh, fucking shop.
Have my breakfast and then, like, go for a massive dump. And you just, like, you know, like that film
about taking the same attitude. Same
attitude. I just want to get through it painlessly. I'll be honest, I want to go
if
off.
You follow my advice.
Just do
in another 15 years, you'll be the MC of the new comedian's night. The comedy
that he's hanging by a thread because Rob's doing like he's trying to
wearing a pair of trainers you haven't thrown away for 18 years. These, it'll be wonderful. Do you know, you can't afford anything else. By the way, Christmas present train. Is Doc Martens.
Yeah.
Fuck you. They're the most comfortable things I've ever worn in my life.
Again, yeah.
I need them. They're waterproof. Dude. It's Manchester. Dude. They're fucking gorgeous.
Dude.
Gorgeous.
Hey, right. My team's coming.
Everyone in this place is closing down. Let's get the fuck
right,
out
yes,
of here.
We need to go. Sorry for that one being boring. We will plan the next one.
Yeah, like and better. Subscribe.
So your New Year's resolution is to do better at stand-up?
Yes.
Because Tom has got a gig in Harrogate and it'd be good if you did that. Tommy was the first act on.
It'd be good if I did it.
It's an awesome gig, and Knaresborough's an awesome gig. And he's got four. He's a really good promoter.
And he's
promoter.
Got York as well. I love gigging in York because it's considering me home. Right, look, seriously, tell people to rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah, do rate and review us.
Okay, that's good.
On iTunes, if you want. Yeah. Don't be arsed. I've not even done it.
Yeah. I'll see you in a month.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.